thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
If you don't know me, I'm Emma. I'm 19. I'm studying theology in Belfast and one of the youth leaders here at Balmoney Elim. And a wee bit about me is that I hate making decisions. Like, it is the worst thing ever. Like, does anyone else hate making decisions? A few, right? Brilliant. Well, I hate it. I think there's nothing worse than it. Like, if someone comes to me asking, like, oh, here, would you decide? I'm like, nope, you can decide what takeaway you want. I don't want to decide. Like, don't tell me what song to put on because I won't be able to pick it. Like, I hate it. Hate all of it. Because I know that, like, the repercussions of, like, what I decide is, like, going to fall back on me, if that makes sense. Like, it's not anyone else's fault. What, like, I decide to do is all my fault. So if it's a bad shout, it's on me. And tonight we're going to be looking at a story of this person who makes a decision and he has to face the consequences of making the wrong decision. So if you have your Bibles with you, can you turn to Luke 15? And it's verse 13 to 24. And if you're there, put your Bible in the air. Okay, perfect. See if you. Okay, perfect. Verse 13 says, not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. Oh, sorry. We'll go from verse 11, sorry. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and he ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found. And they began to celebrate. Brilliant. So basically my first point of tonight is that the father allows a choice. We see in the parable of the lost son that the father gives the son a choice. And with that choice, he decides he wants all of his inheritance. And which, if you don't know what that is, it's basically like all the stuff he would have gained when his father died. And then he goes off and he spends it all. Every last penny, gone. And I can imagine he probably used this for things like gambling and maybe some like fancy alcohol or maybe like a cheeky McDonald's. Don't know if it was about them, but maybe. And he was so focused on worldly temptations that he soon realized they were only temporary. We read in Romans 8, verse 14 to 15, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. It tells us that we've received this spirit of adoption. God created people with the ability to choose him and be adopted into his family. And real love doesn't force it, but real love requires a choice. And from the very beginning of time, humanity has had a choice. God has allowed humanity to have a choice. And we see at the very beginning of the Bible, with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, where they have a decision to either stick to what God's commanded them to or to disobey God. And a lot of us probably know that they did choose to disobey God and to go against his commands. And often we hear that story and are probably like, that's so stupid. Like, why would you do that? Like, is it just one command? Like, why would you disobey God? That's so silly. But how often is that us in this room? How often do we turn our alarms off in the morning when we're meant to be up reading our Bibles? Because we just need that wee lion. How often do we ignore opportunities that God gives us to share the gospel to maybe that coworker or that person you sit beside in school because like you're too scared? We have a choice today. Every day we have choices to make. Whether it's a small decision like, I'm going to wear this today, or what I'm going to have for breakfast, or whether it's a big thing like telling your coworker about Jesus, or like, will I trust in God or like do my own thing today? Will I live for God or live for the world today? Altogether, our decisions matter. And the younger son in this story was given a choice. He chose to go his own way. He chose to live for the world rather than for God. And for a while, I'm sure it was really fun and really exciting. And I'm sure for a short moment, he was satisfied. But that moment didn't last. Worldly things never last. That drink of alcohol, it won't last. That vape won't last. That money that you have won't last. Because the world promises to satisfy, but never delivers. The world promises to satisfy, but never delivers. Worldly happiness never satisfies, because we always end up empty in the end. We always end up wanting more of that thing. However, the Bible says that true and utter satisfaction doesn't come from something found on the earth, but it comes from a heavenly Father who loves you deeply beyond all measure. Our only satisfaction is from him. The son was at a position now where he literally had nothing. Everything he thought would satisfy didn't. Everything he thought would bring him like so much happiness didn't. And it was at a point where he tried to go his own way, but it didn't work. So then finally, he realizes there has to be more than this. There has to be more. And maybe that's similar to some people in the room tonight. Maybe you've tried going your own way. Maybe you've tried doing things your own way and you're not feeling satisfied. Tried living like through earthly satisfactions, but deep down you still feel empty. You still feel lost. You still feel unsatisfied. And tonight, the Father's calling you tonight to chase after him for true satisfaction. The Father's calling you tonight to rely on him better. The Father's calling you tonight to make that choice. So what is your choice tonight? Imagine being the son where you've like wasted everything like your father's worked so hard for so many years, and it's all gone, and like you feel like you've let everyone down. He probably felt guilty and shame and disappointment. So he decides, right, it's time to go home, face the music. Here we go. So he starts walking home. And on the way, he's like planning his apology. All right, I'm going to say this. And I can imagine this probably felt like the longest journey of all time. He probably had like a million thoughts going through his head of how his father was going to react. Is he going to be angry? Is he going to be disappointed? Am I going to get a full lecture for about half an hour? Well, that brings me to my second point, which is the Father's grace. Now, I don't know a lot of people in this room's stories. However, I do think that people's views on their Heavenly Father shifts and changes depending on their earthly father. The reality is that what your earthly father does good, the Heavenly Father does perfect. What your earthly father does bad, the Heavenly Father does perfect. He is the perfection of all. Good and bad choices, he is perfect. And we see this through the reaction of the father in Luke 15. Because in this story, when the father sees the son, he doesn't start preparing his lecture, start writing notes. No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't ignore him. But actually, the father gets up and he runs to the son. He sees him from a distance and he runs to him and he embraces him. And it says he kisses him. Before the son had even said one word, the father was already showering him in love and in grace. But why? Because that's the father's heart. I grew up always going to like every church event and every camp and truly loving Jesus. But like every teenager, I got things wrong. I made mistakes. So many times I thought, right, God must hate me now because I've just let him down again. He must be so disappointed in me because I wasn't supposed to do that, but I did it anyway. But it wasn't until a moment where I encountered God for myself, where I encountered the Father heart of God for the first time that I truly felt his love, that I truly realized that he cares for me, that he loves me, that all I'd done didn't matter in his eyes because he'd wiped that clean. He isn't this big lawmaker who's going to punish me whenever I mess up. In reality, he's waiting for me with open arms to come back to him. And it wasn't until I realized that I was able to have a good, strong relationship with him. He had been waiting for me for so long because he loved me that much. In Romans 8, verse 15, it says, "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." We need to choose to live not by fear today. Jesus has already paid the price. He has already took the punishment on the cross that we deserved. Why? Because you were on his heart the whole time. Because his heart is for you. You don't need to fix yourself before you come to him. He calls you just as you are. He says, come as you are. He gave us freedom. He gave us a new purpose. And like, I love this analogy, the fact that like, you don't go to a shower clean to get clean. But you go to a shower dirty to become clean. And in the exact same way, the Father is the person who makes you clean. So come to him as you are. Come to him dirty. So for that person who keeps making mistakes, his arms are open wide. For the one who feels guilty for what they've done, his arms are open wide. For the one who feels distant from their Heavenly Father right now, his arms are open wide. His grace is far greater than all your failures. Another person in the Bible that proves this point is Peter. We read about him being one of Jesus' disciples, and he had seen Jesus perform miracles and healings and feeding 5,000 people and all this crazy stuff. And he was someone that Jesus said was going to further God's kingdom. But in a moment of fear, Peter denies him. He's asked, were you with Jesus? Not once, not twice, but three times, Peter denies it. And you're probably wondering, like, how could Jesus use someone like him? How could Peter have done this when he'd seen all the cool things that Jesus had been doing? However, we see that God still has a plan for him. God still uses him. And after Jesus was raised from the dead, he goes and visits the disciples. And this is what he says. to Peter. In John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17, it says, "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Then feed my sheep.'" Three times Peter denies Jesus. But three times in this John 21, it says that, or three times Jesus recommissions his calling. See, the Father heart of God doesn't look at our mistakes and discount us. The Father heart of God knows our mistakes and still chooses us. His heart is full of grace. Peter messed up, but God didn't leave him. He still had a plan for him, and he still wanted him to look after his people. We need to let this kind of love define us tonight, that comes straight from the Father. And in this story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, we see the Father showered his son with love and grace. And your heavenly Father is waiting to do the exact same thing for you tonight. But you need to be the one to make the decision to turn to him. Whether you've never made the decision before to trust in him, or you've made it multiple times, do not leave him waiting tonight. One of my favorite parts of this story is the fact that he doesn't stop with this loving embrace, but actually he celebrates it, which leads me to my final point. The Father celebrates. This is a really random question, but I promise it has a purpose. But does anyone like returning things? We've got one. Brilliant. Well, I'm kind of weird, and I quite like returning things, right? Like, the other day, a package came, and one of the things were, like, kind of mid, so I was like, nah, I don't really want to keep it, to be honest. So I was like, right, I'll send it back. So packaged it all up again and sent it away. And I don't know why, but I get this, like, real, like, satisfaction about, like, having money taken away from my account and then, like, it disappearing and then it coming back again. I don't know why I love that, because it feels like I'm gaining more money, even though, like, that's not really mathematically correct. And, like, if you're doing, like, an exam, don't listen to me. But there's something, like, there's joy in the fact that it's coming back. And, like, something that once wasn't there is now back again. And there's something exciting about it. And the Father has the exact same reaction when it comes to his son coming home. That he used to have a son, but then when he's back again, he just can't help but celebrate it. It's just so exciting. He just can't believe he's back. It says in Luke 15, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found." The Father doesn't simply allow the son back, but he celebrates the fact that he came back. He throws the hugest party I can imagine. Puts a robe on him. He puts a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Why? Because the relationship between them had been restored. God isn't inviting us into a religion, but a relationship with him, the Father, the creator of the world, the king of all kings, the lord of all lords, wants to know you personally. The Father wasn't bringing him back to be a servant in his house, but he was restoring his relationship as a son. And another thing that I love in this part is that no matter what the son did, his Father still calls him son. Like the son, we're adopted as sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. And he's not looking for perfect people, but he is looking for returning people. The ones that will turn to him when they have a decision to make. the ones that will return to him when they're going through a really hard period, the ones who will return to him when things are really easy. And just as the band are getting up, you're probably wondering, what does this mean for us? Why should I even care about what she's talking about? Well, I think for some people in this room, we need to make a choice tonight. That you've been dipping in and out of choosing the world and choosing the Father too much, that you need to make a decision. So what's your choice tonight? Are you going to go all in for him? Or are you still going to be seeking temporary satisfaction like the son did? You might be keeping the Father waiting for now, saying, right, no, I'll turn to him when I'm a bit older, maybe. Or I'll return to him when I'm a better person. Or do you know what? I'll talk to him when I'm a wee bit less busy, because I'm a bit busy now. Well, he's currently waiting for you right now with grace and open arms. So don't keep him waiting. I think some people also in this room need to remember tonight that he is a perfect heavenly Father. He isn't this scary authority figure who wants to punish you, but actually, he is a father who wants an intimate relationship with you. He's not like your earthly father, but he far exceeds everything in perfection. And lastly, maybe you have made the decision to live for him, not the world. I believe that does require a response. The Father's reaction doesn't stop at grace, but it proceeds to celebration of joy. So why don't you rejoice in that tonight as you worship? The fact that his heart is full of grace for you. And this should look like something. If you're truly giving him all the thanksgiving and all the praise and all the worship, then it should look like something. And it might cost you comfortability. It might cost you a bit of embarrassment, but he's so worthy of it all. We're going to be led by the band in a song called Run to the Father. And I believe that tonight this needs to be a declaration for all of us in this room, that in every situation you will run straight back to the Father, that we will never leave his arms, that our eyes will be fixed upon him at all times.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com. You give me faith to trust what you